Hi.
Hi, how are you? Hey, Caitlin, how are you doing?
Hi, Abba.
Happy Friday.
Happy Thursday. How are you?
I'm on a bright Friday morning. I'm doing good. How are you doing today? Also, like, separately, have you noticed when we count down, we use different fingers? I always keep noticing that, then I forget by the time we start recording.
Yes. Okay, so when you're counting, yeah, okay, so for anyone listening, we have to do a countdown to be able to start the podcast at the same time, and we're on video with each other, pressing buttons at the same time, and we do a 3, 2, 1, go, and you, okay, so Abba, when you count, you use
my last pinky. Three fingers, like middle finger to pinky, and you use your three fingers.
I know, that's so funny because I think that's like a lot of people in the US use those fingers to count. But my sister, who like counts all the time, like for her job as a personal trainer and like in her classes and stuff,
really?
She counts with the three fingers that you count with. Yeah, and I always see her holding up her hand with the middle finger to the pinky.
Yeah.
And I never do
I
that.
Feel like initially that used to, because we have to, of course, there's a lag between like the visuals of our video together and the countdown that we're doing. So we're like watching each other and trying to make the mouth sound coordinate with it. And I feel like that's also part of what you, I'm always like, oh, wait, we're in, which is number two again? Because my number two looks different from your number two.
Is that how, oh my gosh, is that how everyone counts in Kenya if you're using your fingers?
I haven't really thought about it, but I feel like this thing for like seeing people holding like the pinky out with like this motion of the three last fingers is, it's common. I feel like it looks normal for me. I mean, this one also, but even when I'm holding the three middle fingers like that, it feels weird on my fingers. Like it feels like I'm straining this finger.
I mean, it kind of looks weird.
You look totally normal when you see how my fingers are not even used to sitting like that.
Because
like
you're not used to holding your... Yeah, which is how I feel with the last three. Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. How are you otherwise? How are things? Check in.
I'm doing good. I was rested today. I think... So last night, definitely when I went to bed, I was like, okay, will I be able to get up on time in the morning? Because I hadn't been sleeping so good this past week. But I got tired early because Caitlin texted me at around like 10:30 p.m. my time to confirm our recording today. But I was already out, which hasn't been happening this week. So this week was a bit of a, it wasn't the best. I feel like it wasn't the best week, even though there was nothing specifically happening to drive that. But it just felt like a very high anxiety period where I was like continuously having to like regulate and figure out like, is this like work stress? Is this separate like money stress? Is it like personal life things happening? Or is it just like the hormones in my body, the chemicals in my brain are doing a thing? And either which way, how do I get it to calm down so I can, you know, be relaxed? So yeah, that was how my week was going.
How are you regulating when you feel like that?
So, specifically this week.
Share your wisdom.
Yeah, remember I was saying this is supposed to be like a yoga year. So this week I did two yoga sessions this week, which was good. And the second one was definitely driven by like my body was, it was like going to 2 a.m. and my body wasn't shutting down for the day, and it was literally like a Wednesday night, and I'm just like, I have so much, and Thursdays are my biggest work days, so I was just like, I need to like figure out how to shut down the computer, which is, I feel like what my regulating is usually just like, you're trying to put the brain computer to sleep, right? But something, a tip that I learned on Friday last week, but I only tried it from Monday this week, which I totally recommend for grounding, Caitlin. I don't know if you've tried this before, but like using an ice cube. Do you know of the ice method?
No.
It's amazing. Literally, it takes way shorter than like trying to figure out five things you can feel and four things you can touch. Because I was definitely, so someone from my, I was like breaking. So it's towards the tail end of last week. I mean, I got back to work last week. So I was also like, is this work stress or is it just like now, like, getting back into the year stress that was coming. But, like, I was breaking out into hives during a call with one of my team members. And I was just like, why am I, like, so hivey and I'm not stressed
oh
right
my
now?
Gosh.
And she's just like, try. She's like, my therapist told me. So she was also, like, having, when she was getting hives a lot, she was like, put an ice cube between your palms. Like, take an ice cube, hold them between your palms, and just rub them until it fully melts away. And, like, by the time the ice cube melts, it's, like, really grounding and calming. So I didn't do it on that Friday because I think that passed pretty quickly or whatever. But then this week had been so jumbled. So I was on a call with my manager. Mm-hmm. And I've been having internet issues. And he's just like, is your internet hanging? Or, like, what's going on? But what was happening was my internal internet was
hanging.
And
you're trying not to panic.
And I was just like, I need a minute. I, like, need to get an... I was just like, I'm really anxious.
So you, like, got up and just
yeah,
got an
ice cube.
Yeah, I
was like,
cube.
You need to give
you
me 2 minutes.
Hold on,
I'm really anxious
cube.
For no reason that I can, like, tell right now, but I need to, like, calm down because I was also doing a presentation to the organization right after that call.
Yeah.
And girl, I was breaking out into hives by that time, and the reason why he was wondering if my internet was hanging was because I think I was starting to, like, breathe weird and, like, drop off on the talking. By the time I rubbed that, literally, it. By the time the ice fully melts, it's, like, it melts away with... So if you, it's like if you catch the when the feelings are kicking mm-hmm. up right away, especially so not like when you're like deep in a spiral.
Cause that's such a bad feeling when you feel it starting to sneak up and you're like, I got to do something now or I'm going to run out of this room.
Exactly. Like. That feeling when you're still, and you know what usually it's like you're trying to breathe and like mm-hmm. calm it down. And sometimes when you're like, sometimes a breathing yeah. exercise kind of shoots it up higher cause it's like you're overly suppressed.
Cause then you become so mm-hmm. aware of how, like, your breathing is getting more rapid.
But you see, that one, you don't have to talk. You don't have to be aware of your surroundings, even though, like, aware. So I was literally, like, trying. It's so... But this is, yeah, this is my truth. I was definitely, like, leaning on my chair and, like, trying to, like, press myself. Like, before I did that,
get any kind of sensation to, like,
exactly.
bring you back
to like, your yeah. body and, like, mm-hmm. just calming it down. But the ice thing, I don't know what it does. It, like, I don't know if it's a sharp cold, but I was also learning that there's something, like, ice yesterday, like, if people with, like, extreme mental illness, like, take ice baths or something, and it's a way, but I've not read on it, so I just heard someone mention it yesterday.
A way to, like, oh, okay, I do think that cold sensation in general is a way to, like, bring me back when I'm, like, kind of panicking. I've never done anything with ice, but when I've gotten kind of panicked and I start to, like, get flushed, if I can get to, like, a bathroom and, like, run my wrists under cold water, it has always really helped me. But the ice cube is something I will have to try because... it's such a bad, I know what you're talking about. I know it so well. And it is, I feel the same that I'm always trying to like pinch myself just to like get me to like come back down to
yeah,
earth a little bit.
Because your brain is like skyrocketing for, sometimes it's for no reason. I mean, technically it's never for no reason, but like, especially when it's not, mm-hmm. you know. So, like, for, let's say for you, maybe before you get it, but I guess when you get into court, it's, like, sometimes it's even just, like, adrenaline.
By the time I'm in court, it's too late, because that has happened to me when I, like, start to kind of get that panic in court, and I just have to, what I do is I take these, like, ginger chews. They're, like, candy mm-hmm. ginger, and
I love
they're really yummy, but even
so
just, like, having, yeah, and, like, just... Like, the judges all know that I have low blood sugar anyway, so I have, like, permission to eat in court if I need to, which is, like, embarrassing, but...
No,
it's not
embarrassing.
I should, like, own it.
Oh, my gosh, not you having special permission for the courts for low blood sugar. Oh, the anemic bodies and the diabetic bodies are, like,
running out in there, so it's... So I will just have to eat something, because then, like, chewing and kind of focusing on... anything other than like what's happening in my brain helps.
Yeah, so I mean, you definitely wouldn't have an ice cube at hand when you're in court. It would have fully you can carry it to go. This is ideal for people who work from home.
I'll take an ice pack with me next time. But that's really great though, and it's not like, I mean, gosh, like that comes up all the time when I'm home too. It always feels more out of control when I'm somewhere where I can't just leave, but I feel like working from home, when you're on a call or something, you have that same thing. Like you can't, you're like expected to be doing this thing and you can't really move either.
Because like that, especially that one is like a one-on-one call. I'm largely the person speaking and suddenly my body and brain are like doing a thing, but you know. And it also just really feels
get out of soothing,
like the rubbing motion also does something. And it like absorbs the, it's like what you're saying, you know, the thing for running your hands under the water, it's like absorbing the heat of the like, whatever extreme thing is happening in your body, and it like cools it off, which is so great. How about you? How's your week going? Where's your mind at?
It's good. The week's been good. It's, you know, it's always busy, but in a good way. My good friend Maria, I know, she's trying to look out the window with the blinds closed. So this cat. But no, Maria got to visit me. I think I've talked about Maria quite a few times in the podcast already. My lifelong soulmate was visiting.
We were in high university.
Yeah. So she visited, she lives within driving distance, so she came and visited me for the weekend. So that was nice.
How'd y'all get up to?
Honestly, just a lot of hanging out, a lot of walks, a lot of eating. I mean, just the things I love the best. Taking long walks and eating, and we went to dinner a couple places, had some beer, made some drinks.
I love that.
Hung out. It was pretty mellow. We read, you know, that's the thing. I love the kind of friendships where you can just like hang out and do things, like exist side by side, but not have to feel any kind of pressure to be doing anything or talking or, I mean, we do talk like so much, of course, but I mean, you know, like I love a friendship where we can just be reading on the couch, and that is like time enjoyed.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, those are definitely my favorite kinds of friendships, and even like romantic friendships, like where it doesn't have to be like, oh, this is a plan, da 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 da. And I think especially like during the pandemic period, who are the people who you can like work from home? You're not really hanging out, but you're like enjoying the fact that you're in each other's space and you, like have very small connections sometimes, but you can just like enjoy existing around each other. And I feel like those are definitely a lot of the friendships that I've been able to, not that all friendships need to be like that, but those are kind of like the my sweetest ones.
They're special. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are special. So yeah, it was a good weekend, and yeah, busy at work as always, but I had some good little wins at work.
Did you win
this
some
week
court
that
cases?
Felt good, so. Well, I've gotten gotten a couple clients some really good plea deals, gotten some felony charges amended down to
getting people out of
petty
jail
misdemeanors. So
for most people.
Yeah, so there were some wins like that this week.
Why is
so
Barbara part of this podcast today, guys? I don't think it's Caitlin's black cat is actually, she's been jogging behind her. Like, this is the third jog, and she's just coming, like, sad.
She comes alive in the nighttime. She really does. Cats are wild.
I like, shut Pepper down in my room. He was trying to escape when I went back for my earphones. I'm just like, Pepper, just give me a break just for a few minutes, please. We literally hang out every second of every day. We could also spend some time apart, okay? Please, I need some space.
We're just existing together in the room. Pepper needs to take
gosh,
a hit.
Pepper needs it. Yeah. But, okay, so, Caitlin, like, especially because of the past week, and I would say, like, from last Friday till this Friday, I've been very hyper aware of, I think especially when it's, like, it feels like regulating purely for the purpose of regulating, so there's not, like, a very obvious trigger of something, you know, like, I understand being under like a stressful condition where it's especially when it feels like there'll be an end to it, but when it's not very clear what's causing it, it's just like, how do you, again, remain centered, remain grounded? How do you like embody your literal body? And I've been thinking also, you know, coming right off of the back of December and being on vacation for a really long time and having multiple other things that help regulate from like activities to drinks and other things, I've just been thinking about like relationship with alcohol, because there's definitely been a time, you know, how can I, sometimes it's like you're trying to just like shut down the day. And when I'm feeling that like all out of sorts, I'm always very hyper aware of like, okay, I don't want to use any like substance to be able to like calm myself. Sometimes I need to, but it's just like, I'm right out of December where of course I'm drinking more in December than I'm doing the rest of the year. Cause I'm like on vacation. That's like December season in Africa. All the people are like on holiday. We're going out all of the time, but I've just been very hyper aware.
Honestly, it looks so fun. I need to visit in December. You need to visit the lesson.
In December. But you do need to visit in December. When it's cold where you are and it's hot here and we are literally... The city comes alive. Mm. Even like the relaxing and existing next to each other is just sweeter because everyone is not worried about everything as much as they usually are. So it's just like perfect. Yeah, but I've been thinking about like, you know, alcohol. Love and other drugs such as alcohol and others. Depending, you know, and I wanted to know, like, also, you know, being now in heading in our mid-30s, we're deep into our mid-30s this year, which is another thing that I've been hyper aware of this past week. I don't know. what's your relationship? What would you say your relationship with alcohol is? And especially like alcohol as a form of soothing. Yeah, like, I guess it's not even like relationship with dependency per se, but like a little bit on that, but especially using it both as a tool, as a way of turning down, as a way of entertaining. And if there's anything different for you already going into this year, or how has your relationship with like with alcohol been in your recent past?
Oh, gosh. I mean... Really, it's been all over the place, I would say. I like alcohol. I love having a drink. I like making drinks. I like entertaining and giving people drinks, going out for drinks, you know. Maker? But I'm also, I don't know if I'd say that, but I mean, I can make some decent ones, but I do like drinking a lot, but I'm also, I've gone through a lot of stages of my life where I just completely lose interest. I'm not drinking at all. I've gone long periods of time without any alcohol. And I feel like as I've gotten older too, I have, I definitely don't feel any kind of like peer pressure to drink now that maybe that I used to. Like I have no issue going out and being like, no, I don't want to drink. And I'm also a little more hyper aware of like, I have a lot of sober friends, you know, now, whether just because they don't like it, because they don't want to, because they are in recovery. And so I feel like, I don't know. I definitely enjoy drinking a lot personally, but I have lately tried to not have so many of my interactions revolve around alcohol because it's very easy. I definitely like think that it's so easy for me to be like tired and had a really like wild day at work and want to come home and just like get a drink immediately. And I definitely started that like probably when I first moved here. And it like I realized, wow, like I'm drinking a bit every day. And I know like attorneys have such a reputation for like having some pretty intense like alcohol, you know, like alcohol abuse issues and stuff. And I definitely like saw myself kind of like falling into that. So now I mean, as of lately, I've been like not drinking every night I come home from work and kind of just making it more of something fun that I like do occasionally or do... Like going out with friends, you know? I don't know. So it's kind of changed. Did you hear that cat?
Someone jingling around. Is that like Millie's collar or something?
It's Verna rolling, Verna's balls rolling around her, around the room. But I don't know. I mean, what do you think? I kind of just rambled that answer, but it's definitely like, it's been a journey.
And I guess I was also curious, like what, I did not know attorneys are like kind of known for potentially leaning more on alcohol. I mean, it makes sense the more high stress. I feel like mothers of many small children, attorneys and doctors, mm-hmm. like there's just certain environments that you're like, especially if you have a short window. What I feel is like, you know, when I'm, okay, George is going to like spank us. Mealy, please, Verna, don't get us in trouble.
It's Verna. I know.
Like, I kind of like that sound, but I don't know.
Sorry, everyone. I know this cat.
I feel like it's always, so I feel that pressure more when, or I presume there's more of that pressure, and I feel it more when it feels like I'm having long days, but I also want to get sufficient rest, like from mm-hmm. sleep. So I need to be able to like shut down, have some moment of like calmness for yourself, and you're like trying to accelerate the period between that. So if you have like maybe between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m., then you need to start turning down for bed. Mm-hmm. It's just like, if you're going, now like, let's say my ice cube, before my ice cube method, if I'm going to spend an hour and a half to get my cortisol and adrenaline down, then it's like, now I have 30 minutes to like, maybe watch a television show and go, it's like, it's, how do I kind of like, accelerate getting to mm-hmm. the calm so that I can like, enjoy my period before like, I get go to bed and get back into the grind, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I don't, my relationship with alcohol or like, I get, I feel like saying substance is just like, okay, I'm using heroin, but like, anyway, alcohol, and you know, using, I like alcohol as well. I mean, I run a bar, restaurant, cafe that serves, I was the big driver in the, you know, mm-hmm. the partnership, like in the get, where it's just like, we need to figure out a liquor license.
Sorry to everyone that just heard that cat that, gallop. That
Caitlin's face was such a mom face right now. She's just like, if you don't stop right there without just saying anything, don't stop right that right now. Someone's gonna like,
oh my gosh,
face the music. Verna's mom has had it. But so I've been, this past week, specifically this past week, when I've been feeling like my, the reason why I was hyper aware of it is like, I'm like, I feel like I can't drink this past week, because it's now today I'll probably have a drink. I'm feeling a lot calmer, like to even just like by the, it's 7:42 mm-hmm. and then I've been feeling at around this time in the morning, it's been like, oh my gosh, I need to relax, I need to meditate, I feel like I'm not going to be able to like get my, it's like I'm waking up with my adrenaline really high.
Yeah.
So I enjoy alcohol. I'm mostly a social drinker, but I'm also very hyper aware for like when I'm at home. I've also gone through periods, let's say when I was doing my MBA and working a high stress corporate job, the thing for like coming and not drinking much, but like I need like feeling like when I come home, I need a glass of wine so that I can just again accelerate the process to like relaxing for the day so that I can mm-hmm. enjoy my window of alone time before I have to go to bed. But now like, let's say even in this house, I was like, I'm very hyper aware of like dependency, and I think it's my mom like just really hammered that into us from when we were really young. There was always like the narrative of, I think also like as a therapist and like being, understanding like biological alcohol dependency, there was always a thing for, you know, we have, there's these uncles, mm-hmm. like maybe her uncles who like, okay, if you have like a number of uncles who suffered from alcoholism, is there potentially a strain in your bloodline? And how are you like relating to alcohol around mm-hmm. that? So I've always been really hyper aware of that. But also as I'm growing older, sometimes it just doesn't feel good as much the next day. So even as I'm saying December, when I'm out yeah. a lot, and yes, I'm enjoying like having drinks with friends, but I hate the feeling of losing a day or a weekend. Like if I go out, even if I don't like super rage, but if I'm having like a lot of drinks with my friends on Friday, I feel like I have to like sleep in super late on Saturday and like feeling groggy. And it's just like, I can't afford to lose a whole weekend to drinking, but also I would like to like have a drink so I can feel better. So I'm like, I feel like I'm trying to figure out what my relationship with alcohol is mm-hmm. gonna be. But raw dogging reality is also beating my ass and like having to grab onto ice cubes a lot and like mm-hmm. drop down and start yoga in the middle of the workday.
Yeah. Like
a lot. So I'm, yeah.
Well, and I like that. Well, it's funny because it's like we're in our 30s now. Like, we've been drinking alcohol for nearly two decades, almost. Like, nearly two decades at this point. I mean, I, you know, and I think I started drinking when I was 15. And it's, like, everything, like, the conversations, I feel like, with our generation, or there weren't really conversations. Everyone just, like, loved to drink and party, and it was, you know, obviously, like, get as wasted as you can, and now, like, at this age, we're just now, like, I feel like I'm just now thinking about it and, like, there are, you know, other ways to think about alcohol, or even, like, everything that was in movies or TV where it was just, like, you know, adults coming home and then just like binging like wine or whatever was it, you know, I feel like it was like whatever's in TV, you know, and I don't know. I'm really interested in like Gen Z's approach because it just seems like they're so much less glorifying alcohol. And not that like, I mean, you know, yeah. And it's, I think that's cool and interesting that it, I'm just interested to see how it plays out and like whether, you know, because did you feel like in your younger years, like, I mean, I guess that's everyone, like there's this pressure to party and like partying's fun. Like it wasn't just like, it's not like someone was like making me party by any means, but I definitely like going out sober didn't really feel like an option, even though it 100% was, you know, where I feel like Gen Z, they're just like, no, I don't like the taste of alcohol. I don't want to drink. Whereas like, yeah, none of us liked chugging whatever, you know, the stuff when we were teenagers, which like Boone's Farm or whatever we were drinking at the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's such a change between generations.
Yeah, that's an interesting observation. Yeah, I think Gen Z, even, I mean, we should bring on a Gen Z person. We do be, even, actually, if we just talk about
Gen Z all the time.
This podcast, that rings true. And I feel like the difference in, a big difference, even, we should, yes, we're shooting a Gen Z episode soon. But, like, I think they're just more open to being individuals. So, like, even, like, what you're saying, it's not like we were, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to party. Why are they shoving alcohol down my throat? You are enjoying partying, but
yeah,
like,
we
there was just so much
did.
More pressure to be like a part of the group and to fit in whichever way that I feel like you are always just like doing. Because I remember I didn't actually, I feel like I proper started drinking like at 19. But like even between, I was going out though. I was like clubbing by 17, like going out maybe at least once a week, like until 6 a.m. or whatever. But like, I remember like in my first year of clubbing, I wasn't a drinker yet. I was a big Coke drinker. And there was always, that would always be a thing, like depending on which high school friends of mine I bumped into or like which neighborhood friend, there would always be like, so I'd always like, I was purely like drinking Coca-Cola, but I would run the risk of needing to take a couple of tequila shots depending on who I bump into. Because it was, I feel like in our generation, there'd literally be people who are like, no, like it would literally be like, you have to take this thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, fine. But I've also been thinking about like the relationship with like alcohol in regards to intimacy or like, you know, whatever you used to, especially if you're not in a long-term relationship. So like the, not hookup culture necessarily, hookup culture. I feel like that's what boomers refer to, like anything that millennials.
I know. I, who are you?
I
like,
definitely,
what are you talking
what
about
I'm
right
saying,
now?
When I say, I heard.
We're more sex positive here.
Hookup culture. I literally had that phrase listening to a podcast this week. Someone was referring to like, okay, so I was listening to this podcast. The reason why the term hookup culture is in my head is because I heard someone else referring to it as that. But the funny thing is that it slipped out of mine and it definitely slipped out. Older millennials, you're too adjacent to boomers and like the things are stuck.
Yeah, I mean,
even
the language is still there. You're right. I mean, we've had to kind of retrain our brains from all this. You know, but that's so funny.
Like,
but no, I mean, I would be interested. I mean, I think I also am interested in like the differences generationally and like the role that alcohol plays with any, you know, anything of being younger, not even younger, like whatever age and like sex or intimacy in any capacity or forging like any kind of physical romantic relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, so especially in a, I know, so this lady, this specific person was talking about it. She was talking about like her dependency her 20s to 30s on alcohol to like be the oil, like to her being able to casually date. So like, it was also just like, I was living in New York, like the kind of connections that you're making. First, it feels like everyone is hyper cool. And if you're not necessarily like building connections for like longer term relationships, but you're going out a lot, and even just like the exercise and funness for like flirting when you're in a bar, like I feel like what does flirting look like when you're completely sober, if you're meeting some, you know, like what does like a first date look like when there's no alcohol between it, like feeling like you can have fun, interesting conversations right off the bat with someone you've just met without like having built a foundation for what you're connecting over, and like having alcohol be the oil for that. So I feel like definitely for, I feel like first dates, if it's not like a physical activity, so I guess you're trying to either ground or like not be in your head. So if I'm not outdoor, if you're not going on a walk or like hiking or like doing something that's physical, it's like, okay, if you're sitting and having dinner, it's just like, what the fuck are we talking about? We don't know each other. But there's lots of things to talk about.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, what's your relationship with like, I guess alcohol and dating, especially like quote unquote casual dating or early dating. So I don't mean dating like being in a relationship, because that's like something completely
different. Well, okay, so my sister and I were recently talking about this because we were saying how both of us really like the, what is the word, like the not the vibe, I guess kind of the vibe or like the aesthetic feel of a bar, and how it's like really hard for, you know, people who are sober for whatever reason or just, you know, to get that same kind of feel at a place that doesn't sell alcohol, or that's not just a bar, but a lot of places now are making like mocktail bars that are like alcohol free, but has the same, like the low lighting kind of has that ambiance, which I love, which
it's a whole thing,
and I think that is just so cool, because so many dates, it's like I feel like first dates or whatever it is, date or not, or just like meeting someone in any way, like it does a lot of times revolve around alcohol, because I think that environment of a bar is like really welcoming in that way. Like, again, like the dim lighting, like good music, like all the other background noise, and it's just, I don't know, it's like comfy. And I love that they're starting to make bars that don't sell alcohol that can have that same effect, because I would like definitely meet someone or like go on a first date somewhere like that, because I think you can pick up on that like warm feeling where I would like feel more confident maybe to like touch someone under the table, or like that's funny, but you know what I mean, like touch someone's leg.
Caitlin, we're not touching people under the
table. But like, you know what I mean? But like,
feels sexy, but like, of the, you know, I feel making you feel comfortable in like it, because I'm thinking of even when I meet,
it's
like
everything about it.
It's just the conversation is different. It's like what you're saying, it feels warm and just like more playful and like, you know?
Yes, and I definitely, like, I could have just ordered my drink, not taken a drink, but I already feel more confident in that setting, or I feel, you know, like more flirtatious, or, yeah, I don't know. It's just that whole feeling. So I definitely like that idea. But I think that dating, at least initial like dates, have mostly revolved, not most, but like a lot of them, like drinking was involved. If I'm like setting up a plate, like,
and drinking doesn't mean heavy drinking. Yeah,
I feel like I meet people at a bar.
You need
Like having a drink and sitting in a bar.
Yeah, I think I was also I was thinking about that and how exactly I feel like it is. I mean, for me too. And it, sometimes even if it's not in a bar, let's say, even if it's like in a, even if it's wherever it is, but like needing kind of feeling like I need or enjoying the, but the ambience of a bar for sure. But like, even, I would say even if it's something like Lava Latte, still like, I mean, depending on the time that you're there, also it does feel like you're in a bar. There's music, mm-hmm. there's warm lighting, you're having like a
cup.
And the thing is, I do like the taste of certain alcohols. So it's also, I've never been, I feel like the last time I was drinking alcohol purely to get drunk and not enjoying, probably was in my mid-20s. Like, I've been kind of on the mm-hmm. other side of drinking only alcohol that I enjoy for a very long time. There's too many good beers and like cocktails and actual liquors to be, you know, mm-hmm. unless we're clubbing and people are taking shots, that's a whole other thing. But which now it always feels like it's so fun because it's just like, oh no, the aunties are out and we're like raging and everyone's taking like Jaeger shots. And so, it's a whole other, it's funny. I feel like it's not the same energy.
Yeah. No, that is fun. I went a couple weeks ago. Yeah, like the shots, the, you know, and it's like, I don't get out like that too often now. And, you know, it's like, I always have fun. Like, I feel like I'm kind of shy or more reserved, I guess, in my regular waking life. But like, if I'm going out, like, really, like the really fun, a very fun side of me comes out where I don't know. And I don't think, do you get that? Like, I like the version of me that's out at the club.
And I feel like the thing so around dating and trying to like recreate a certain energy, there is a component of that. And not that you're not fun in not that environment, but like if you're not comfortable to a certain level with certain people, that part of yourself isn't going to really come mm-hmm. out. And I feel like because I present as a very like comfortable, social, whatever, and I'm not. I mean, I am and I'm not. But like I feel like in certain settings, so even both dating or even like dating new friends, like meeting new friends in a place where I would be like interacting with new people, mm-hmm. I do feel like I'm like, okay, I probably need to like have a drink so that I can, again, I'm not holding an ice cube in my hand.
You get in your head. You live so much in your head.
And like alcohol helps like oil that and like calm you down and like show that other side of you, which again, if you're building, let's say a new friendship with someone, it will come up at other times. But like when someone invites me to like a house party, which is not like, for people our age, where there's like going to be many strangers, I'm going to be like making conversations with many strangers, mm-hmm. but it's just like 15, so you can't hide off in the corner. I'm just like, I don't know if I would be able to like navigate that space fully sober. And I'm very curious about, but I'm also curious about it now. I'm getting a little bit curious about it. Is it also just like managing social anxiety? Yeah. And that's, which is why I'm a social drinker and I do like drinks, but like, is it also just like, it's a, not like a crutch, but like, I'm aware and kind of wary of what that whole dynamic is now. Yeah.
I think, I mean, I will definitely be the first to admit that I lean on alcohol as a crutch socially a lot because, you know, I feel like it's hard sometimes. I mean, I guess we're all working on it to kind of tap into being able to like be your authentic self at all times around people or people you don't know or people that haven't, you know, maybe reject you or haven't accepted mm-hmm. you in any way. And I think like alcohol is a buffer for that. But definitely something I've talked about with some friends too who are now sober, they dealt with like serious like post-drinking anxiety, like what did I say, like did I embarrass myself, kind of like the anxiety mm-hmm. hangovers from alcohol, and that was like all consuming to them. And they finally got to the point where they're like, you know, alcohol in the moment feels good, but I'm just like kind of reeling from it the next day just because I feel like I made a fool of myself or I embarrassed myself or I said something weird in a conversation. And so it's really interesting how, you know, how it like manifests in different people in different ways, which I've definitely had that experience too, where I know I've been a fool.
Listen,
but
are you even zooming towards your mid-30s if you haven't had an experience? But like, actually, I was really curious about that. You know, you talking about your sober friends, I think that's a really good point. And even in this podcast that I was listening to, again, I think that what you've raised for like part of it is like, yes, you want to be able to have fun, but how do you, again, short-circuiting, I want to present as my authentic self. If I'm feeling self-conscious, I feel like I'm performing, how do I make myself just relax and mm-hmm. be, I don't want to like be code switching 75 times in this space, you know, because there's also mm-hmm. like, those are also tools that I developed in my teenage years to my 20s. And it's like, it takes a while right. to be able to like set them down. But this lady was also saying, yeah, the same, a similar thing where you also, again, it's, I think it's more like meeting new friends or colleagues, friends, whatever, and like meeting new dating people where you also just want to be like, okay, how do I want to be able to be like open and vulnerable in this space. But then you wake up the next time is you're like, you also like, I've shared too much intimacy with someone who doesn't also deserve it. So you wake up feeling like shit. And then you also like, it almost like cuts the connection. Cause now you're like, I feel like I can't mm-hmm. be in the same space with this friend or person. Cause it's just like, why did I just like share mm-hmm. my deepest, darkest secrets to someone who I literally met yesterday? It's not necessary as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, it allows you to be open, but also like, how open? And is it also like okay for you? Like, why are you also like trying to be? It's also not necessary to share like parts of ourselves or like that with everyone. And it's also like, yeah. So I that's me for sure as well. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going out for drinks later today with my friends.
Anyway,
you'll be safe though.
Yeah. No, I mean, I also, well, not today because it's still Thursday for me, but I am going out, tomorrow as well with some friends to have some drinks. And yeah, I mean, I think about alcohol and my relationship with alcohol a lot. And also just, I don't know, like how it's changed. It has changed a lot. And now, like, I'm like, okay, I can like buy things that taste a little better now and like what I really like and make this like an enjoyable experience. Cause it is a lot of the time. So,
yeah, I guess to close out on this, what would you say your ideal, what would you be targeting as your relationship with like alcohol, substances and alcohol? What is your picture of success? Because I personally, I don't think I feel like unless there was an actual issue with like proper dependency, I feel like this alcohol is probably going to be a part of my life for always. So like, what would your be an ideal relationship
with mm-hmm. alcohol? I don't know. I mean, maybe just trying to find a good balance, like not necessarily like demonizing it when I do use it when I'm stressed, or, you know, because I think that's why I kind of spiral when I realize like, oh my gosh, how many days in a row have I been drinking? And maybe I should try to do something else. I think just getting in a better kind of mindset of like maybe just using it more socially and less when I'm by myself, if I'm just turning to it because I'm like wrecked or something. And also I think like making sure that I am always being like mindful of like friends who don't drink and making sure I plan activities for other people that like don't want to be drinking. I don't know. That's something I've been thinking about definitely more into my whatever age we are now, our 33s. But what about you?
I feel similarly like what you're saying, not that, because for me, I feel like that even that overanalysis, even though it's part of what like keeps you in check, it's also part of the trigger for this, like what you're saying, you know, how many, okay, I drank, because mm-hmm. I'm really that person. I'm that person with like a lot of things, I think, just growing up in this. I've just always been hyper aware of dependency. So for anything, it's just like, okay, it's been mm-hmm. 7 days where I've done this every day. Okay, it's been like, okay. And then it's just like, okay, now I'm like keeping this scorecard of like multi. So I would also like to like set that aside. First of all, you just give me like a 1 second summary of what you've said other than like they're not tracking it for when you lean on it and being able to like take
it. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, and I think the last thing I said was just being more like cognizant of like friends who are sober, friends or family members who are sober, and like making sure I'm like being inclusive and planning activities socially that don't revolve around that, which I really, I would, you know, I'm looking forward to these like non-alcoholic bars, because I think that that's great. So yeah, you know, and again, like I said, I have gone through long spurts of like not drinking alcohol at all, like for varying reasons. And I think, I don't know, I'm definitely to the point of just like listening to what I need in my body, what I want, and not beating myself up either way. So
I feel that. And definitely around that, especially if it's an interaction or social activity after work, like after 6 p.m., I think it's fairly easy to like figure out daytime things, but even brunch, honestly, there's gonna be mimosas.
Oh my gosh, people go wild at the brunch. I am not a mimosa person, so.
I like bubbles. I like oranges.
No, it's
mix it together, especially homemade. I don't like necessarily restaurant mimosas, but like homemade one, which is like good quality bubbles and fresh orange juice. What? So good. It's so refreshing.
Oh my gosh.
But I think very similar, where it's just like, I think for me, I'm not necessarily worried right now about like my level of consumption, but it's just more like the relationship and the triggers around the consumption, which are. So I mean, it's fine needing to like have a drink if I'm going to, but I would also like to get to the place where maybe I want to navigate the world a little bit more. It's okay for people to meet me as a socially awkward person. Like, it's also, I don't have to be the most fun, best version of like, always. Like, I make room for other people who, I feel like I'm usually drawn to, like, the people who looks uncomfortable in a social setting and try to, like, make it easier for you. And it's like, maybe
you're like, I'd be able to be,
like, friends with more people who are, like, on the opposite side, you know? Like, it's just like, I would like to be able to like enjoy alcohol for like its positives and not overly lean on it as a short circuit to whether it's like quick relaxing or like more often than not, it's like being uncomfortable with the state of being in my head. And how can I like make sure, I think for me, it's like, how can I figure that out so that the substance is not the tool that I'm using to like ground myself or like feel comfortable in my body in like certain spaces.
Yeah, definitely. And that goes for anything too, like any, which obviously we said we're just only talking about alcohol.
We're only talking
today,
about alcohol
for varying for varying reasons, but no shame on anyone for using whatever it is they feel the need to. So, well, on that note, enjoy your drink today.
I need to go get ready super quickly. I have like, I'm meeting some of my colleagues who are working out of Lavalata today, and then a couple of my friends are also going to come and work there, and we'll have drinks later. So that'll be nice. We have a dope cocktail menu that I'm going to be enjoying, and not because I feel uncomfortable in the situation, but because it tastes good and I'm with people I love. So this is, those are my favorite.
Oh, they do taste good. What are you going to... Wait, just what are you going to order? Tell us that first.
So what I've been enjoying, there's this like raspberry drink that I've been enjoying a lot. It's bourbon. It's bourbon based, but it's like fresh muddled raspberries. And it has like, I don't know if it's clubs. It has like the fizz of soda in it. And so it's like very light tasting and it's not too sweet. The sweetness is purely from the fruit and it tastes so good. But then there's also this like cucumber gin and tonic that I really like that has raspberry and cucumbers in it.
Oh yeah.
Tastes good. So
that sounds so good. I feel like you've been a gin and tonic person since I've met you. Didn't you drink gin when we were like little babies?
I was really big on my gin in university. But I went through like I was more of a whiskey drinker for many years after that because I enjoy the taste of whiskey straight, but like since the pandemic, I can't really handle my brown liquors anymore, so I'm back on gin. I feel like whiskey is very like being in the bar, and that scene is where it tastes the best.
Yeah, that's the like sultry, like I want the light slow.
And like since I've gotten out of that space a lot, I'm just like, it's like my relationship with it has adjusted a lot, so we'll figure that out later. But for now, yeah, I'm definitely bigger on like gin.
Yeah, I like a clear liquor in the sunshine, like a mojito. That's But not now, it's winter. Can't get mint here right now.
You're in big, like, whiskey, bigger weather right now. It's super summer right now, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. The warming.
Like fresh, very fresh, mm-hmm. crisp taste oh. with like citrusy flavors and like fresh fruit and good gin. Yeah, that's what I'm
doing. Oh, so good.
And
so
when you
good.
Come, there's also another drink
well,
that you'll have.
So much fun.
Lemonade in Lava Latte, and it's literally just like freshly squeezed lemonade with like shots of gin in it, and it's so good.
Oh, gin or vodka, depending on what you prefer. That does sound yeah. really good. Yum. I like gin a lot, so. All right, Abba, well, enjoy your Lava Latte meeting, and yeah, thanks everyone for listening. Eager to hear. I always like talking to people about, like, their relationships with alcohol, too. It's a conversation that's been coming up more the last few years, I think.
Should we,
so.
We should ask people on our Insta stories, like, some feedback on, like, their relationship with alcohol. Fave alcohols and changing relationship mm-hmm. with alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. All right. Well,
bye. We'll talk later. Caitlin.
Well, until next time.
Like, subscribe on all platforms.
Bye.
Platforms. Bye.